And one of the most important properties and unique characteristics of Christianity is the emphasis on forgiveness. Every other religion, if you'll stop and think about it, has some kind of a concept of revenge. One of the things that's happening in the world situation today is that since Islam teaches revenge, we have war. We have violence. The punishment for sin is a violent punishment. Hinduism is replete with wars between deities. Christianity is different. In Christianity, we have one of the main emphases being forgiveness. This lesson is connected to last week, because last week we talked about the concept of being thankful, of having gratitude. You can't separate gratitude from forgiveness. Those two have to go together. So this morning I want us to look at some concepts of forgiveness, some different thinking, some personal things. The definition that the lexicons give of forgiveness is to rid oneself of resentment. Think about that for a minute. To rid oneself of resentment. Because you know something? If you don't know how to forgive, if you don't know how to get rid of resentment, you're in for trouble. Last week, I told you of James Petty in Chicago and his story about the woman who wanted to hurt her husband. She wanted to divorce him, and so she asked the psychologist for advice as to how she could hurt her husband, and he told her to spend most of her time telling him how thankful he was, or she was, for everything he did. And the ultimate end of that was that the marriage became rock solid. Because you see, to tell somebody how much you appreciate them, you have to forgive the things they did that were wrong. You can't dwell on those things. Not being able to forgive can destroy a lot of things. It can destroy a marriage. We have to know how to forgive to make a marriage work. It can destroy the work of the church. I've told some of you this story. When I was working with the church in Rochester, Indiana, we had two old boys, Clarence Peterson and Mace Nelson. They were very proud of the fact they hadn't spoken to each other in 30 years. Every time you talked to one of them, that came up, it seemed like. One day we were working on some stuff in the basement. We were putting in a sound system, and Clarence fell off a ladder. As he fell off, he grabbed a pipe, and so he's hanging from this pipe. And this guy's like 80 years old at this point. So he's hanging from the pipe, and the other guy's sitting there with his arm folded looking at him. Because they hadn't spoken for 30 years, and he was waiting to see if he would ask for help. Well, I happened to be down there, so I shoved a ladder over, got him off the pipe. Then I said to these two guys, "Now listen, this is ridiculous. Where did this start? You haven't spoken to each other for 30 years. What was the problem?" They looked at me. They looked at each other. They looked back at me. They couldn't remember. They knew they hadn't spoken for 30 years, but they didn't have the slightest idea why. And here this guy was willing to let his brother in Christ get hurt because he hadn't spoken in 30 years. He didn't want to change it. Isn't that the way we are? I've worked with young people all my life. A lot of times I've seen conflict between parent and child. I had a case in South Bend. I'm kind of glad Carl and Julie aren't here because they'd probably recognize who this was. But We had an elder's wife who had a conflict with her daughter. The daughter was in my youth group. The mother had somehow come across some love letters that the girl had written to her boyfriend. They were a little explicit. And so I was trying to get them back together because they were really angry with each other. As a matter of fact, it had gotten to the point where the girl was threatening to run away. And I asked the mother if that's what she wanted to happen. And she said, well, of course not. And I said, well, then give me the letters. And forget this. Forgive her. She thought about it for quite a while. She finally handed me the letters. I took the letters to my house. We have a fireplace. I had the girl come over, said I want to talk to her. I showed her the letters. And I said to her, your mother wants to forgive you. And I took the letters and I put them in the fire. And the girl watched the letters burn and the tears started flowing. She didn't want a breach with her mother, but she wanted her mother's forgiveness. Forgiveness is so important. And God's Word teaches about forgiveness. And in the church, we need to constantly emphasize the importance of forgiveness. I want to talk about two aspects of forgiveness this morning. I want to talk about divine forgiveness and personal forgiveness. The Hebrew word forgive is used 36 times in the Old Testament. The Hebrew word means to send away. Now think about that for a minute. To send away. In Isaiah 38 and verse 17, Isaiah the prophet says, in your love, you kept me from the pit of destruction. You have put all my sins behind your back. Isn't that a beautiful picture? No matter what you've done, God puts it behind his back. He sends it away. That's an important concept. I don't know about you, but I've done some things that I find it hard to believe God could forgive me of. But if we take the Bible as our word, and if we listen to what God says, and listen to God's prophet says, speaking of God, you have rescued me from the pit of destruction. Man, that'll eat you alive if you let it. But you have put it behind your back. You have sent it away. When Jesus, in Matthew 26 and verse 28, is instituting the Lord's Supper, he says, the Bible says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness, for the sending away of sins, for putting your sins behind God's back. A few moments ago, as we partook of the Lord's Supper, we put our sins behind God's back. I don't know about you, but you know, I don't have very many weeks go by when I don't do something stupid. And not many weeks go by when I don't do something that is, I know, contrary to God's will. So I don't want a day to go by when I don't partake of the Lord's Supper, when I don't continuously, consciously stop and think about putting my sins behind God's back, sending it away. All those blood sacrifices in the Old Testament sent away the sins of the people to the coming of Christ. In Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of your sins. Send away your sins. In Acts 22 and verse 16, when Paul is talking about the things that he had done, He says that the message of the preacher to Paul was, "And now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and send away your sins." You think you got bad sins in your life? You think you've done some awful things? Think about Paul. Here was a guy who murdered Christians. Here's a guy who was consented to the death of Stephen, one of God's great preachers. Here's a guy who, on his way to Damascus, had the Lord interfere with him and say, "Look, I'm Jesus. I want to forgive you. What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and send away your sins." In 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 16, there's a series of verses which tell us about God's forgiveness. Verse 16, "So from now on we regard no one from a worldly point of view." Did you hear that? This is what Christians are about. "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view." See, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. You're my brother in Christ. I don't remember the past. I don't dwell upon the past. I don't care about the past. "From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ that way, we do so no longer." See, God's forgiveness is different than our forgiveness. We need to be careful we don't make God into a man. You know, if you think God's still mad at you, you've turned God into a man. You know, I told you about Mason Clarence, 30 years. That's human. But God's not that way. You made a mistake, a big mistake. Okay. God doesn't remember that. He puts it behind him. It's not his emphasis. Verse 17, the next verse says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." A new creation. Something different. The old one has gone. The new has come. We're different. The world out there holds grudges. The world out there remembers what you did, which is wrong. You may even have a wife or a husband who remembers your mistakes. We'll talk about that in just a minute. But with God, we're a new creation. We start thinking differently. We start thinking like God, who puts things behind his back. And then the last two verses of that passage, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. I don't want God counting my sins against me, do you? The God I read about in Scripture is not like the God that wants retaliation. It wants an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus nailed that to his cross. Colossians 2. Do you believe what God says? Do you believe God, in fact, can put your sins behind his back? That's the God that created the creation. That's the God who loves you, who cares about you. This is to be a ministry for us. This is what the church here is about. Changing men and women through forgiveness. But the other thing I want to talk about in forgiveness, number two, is human forgiveness. Person to person. This is harder because it depends on humans. I want to read you a very personal article. This is from Cindy. For those of you who don't know, Cindy is in Macau, near Hong Kong. As I speak to you, she is ministering to her first husband, the father of their two children, who is dying. My wife has written a lot of good things. She has a column in our Does God Exist bimonthly called Cynthia's Corner. She wrote this for that, but then she didn't want to use it because she said it's going to bring people down on you. And I said, I don't care. But she said, I don't want you to do it. My family might object. Well, she's got me there. But I think we're going to run it anyway. I want you to listen to this. This is what human forgiveness is about, personally. I'm writing this article in a hospital room in Macau. I am here to see my ex-husband of 30 years and the father of our two sons. He has been diagnosed with end-stage terminal cancer. His current wife and her sister have welcomed me to stay and help look after Michael, that's her husband, in the hospital. We need people to be with him 24/7. If it seems this is an unusual arrangement, let me tell you why this works. His wife and my husband John both know that Michael and I shared a bond that nothing can break. Even though we allowed Satan to tear our marriage apart many years ago, and there was much pain, disappointment, anger, and grief for many years, we never completely severed our bond because of our children. As time passed, the emotional wounds healed. But I carried a load of guilt and regret and sorrow that just didn't go away. I had accepted God's forgiveness on faith, but I never completely forgave myself. You hearing that one? But I never completely forgave myself for the past. Michael and his wife wanting me to be there in his last days was a gift from God to heal my heart. Michael and I have shared many special moments together these last few days and have enjoyed precious time together as a family with our sons. This was only possible because of forgiveness. He and I have forgiven each other completely for the past, and the negative emotions associated with the sins of the past are gone. They have been replaced by love, not a romantic love that we both have for our spouses, but an agape love that cares deeply for one another and wants the best for them. Because our spouses love us, they have allowed us to have this time of healing and reconciliation. And because Michael and I both believe God's promises, we know we will see each other in heaven with God. Brothers and sisters, that's what forgiveness is about. Jesus set the example. Luke 23 and verse 34. As they've nailed him to the cross, as they're abusing him and assaulting him, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. It's important for us to understand forgiveness. Most of you know Cindy pretty well. I think you understand the kind of person she is. I think you probably have sensed in the 8 years that she's been with us that there's a lot on her heart. I think she's going to come back a changed woman. Michael is very bad right now. I had an email from her this morning that said he is vomiting constantly, that he prays out loud for God to let him die. That's awful to observe, but it is also part of life. Part of life is death. And it's so important for us to understand that you and I have that same responsibility that Cindy has just demonstrated. It isn't always just forgiving somebody else. Sometimes it's forgiving ourselves. I've had a terrible time with that. And you heard her words. Most of us know the Lord's Prayer. Let me remind you of part of it. This is Matthew 6, starting with verse 12. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Did you hear that? Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And Jesus goes so far after the prayer to go back and explain this. Jesus says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you understand that? Do you realize how important forgiveness is? Now, I know that some of you may be saying, well, you just don't. This isn't me speaking. This is God speaking. No, I don't know your situation. No, I don't know what they did to you. I've seen some of your pain. I know some have been through a lot. I've heard Bill, I've heard Tracy, I've heard others talk about how people doing them wrong and brutalizing them and abusing them. But your salvation depends upon your capacity to forgive. If you do not forgive men your sins, their Father will not forgive your sins. That's scary. This isn't something we just pay lip service to. This is a heart thing. Just like gratitude. It's a Christian growth factor. And yeah, but it's not the approach God wants you to have. God knows your situation. He knows what you're capable of. Forgiveness is critical for you to go to heaven. You know, there's a thing that is called a rage factor. It's part of the situation if you've been arrested for road rage. They have you put a number scale from 0 to 10 for how much rage you have now when you're driving your car. Somebody cuts you off. What's your rage factor? You know, 10 is when you do something violent. Zero is when you laugh at it. Where are you on that scale? I'm not asking for a public confession. I'm just saying, you know, where are you on that scale? What does God expect of you? Yeah, but you don't understand it. No. Your salvation depends upon your forgiveness. Remember what happened when Peter raised this question with Jesus? Matthew 18, verse 21. Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 70 times 7 times. And he's not saying 490. We've talked about 7 means completely. Let me ask you something. When your kid does something wrong, do they ever repeat it? When your kid makes a mistake, do you forgive them? How many times do you forgive them? Now, if you've had a kid, you know the answer to that, don't you? Yeah, my kid went over 490 times. Why does that happen? How do you keep forgiving your child? Because of love, right? You love your child. And your child can make mistakes again and again and again, but you keep forgiving again and again and again. Why? Because you love them. Why is it that husbands and wives don't do the same thing with their mate? How many times have you forgiven your husband? How many times have you forgiven your wife? Let me tell you about something about Cynthia. Every time we go to bed, every time we sit down to pray together, every time we have a few minutes together, she's talking about forgiving her of something. 90% of the time, I don't even know what she's talking about. But she has a heart seeking forgiveness. That's what culminated in that letter I just read to you. She's been an incredible example to me. And so I ask for you to think for a minute. What's your forgiveness quotient on a scale from 0 to 10? What's your forgiveness quotient? For your child, it's a 10, isn't it? For a child, you'll forgive them any number of times. How many times do you forgive your husband or your wife? When your child does something terrible. I have a brother who chose to be an alcoholic. When he first started drinking, I have to confess to you, I was not very forgiving. I was angry. I had all kinds of justification for my anger. He knew better. I sent him tracts on what was wrong with drinking alcohol. I gave him all of this lecturing. When he almost died from alcohol, I called him and all I said was, "Jim, I just want you to know I love you." And he started crying. And he quit drinking. See, my forgiveness quotient went to 10. Because I love my brother. The indwelling of the Spirit is something that helps us with forgiveness. We've talked about the fact that baptism can change the way you think, can change what you do. And I submit to you that the indwelling of God's Spirit gives you the capacity to forgive in ways you wouldn't have thought possible before you became a Christian. And I hope this morning I've motivated you to think a little bit about this whole subject of how we can change the way we think. Because it's so easy to sit back and say, "I'm going to stay mad because they did thus and so. They hurt me this way. They abused me." It's so easy to justify being angry and wanting revenge. But that's not God's way. And Jesus says, if you do not forgive men their sins, the Father will not forgive you of your sins. That's part of the Lord's Prayer. So let me urge you this morning to think about how obeying can affect your life. Pray about it. You've got the outline of the lesson in the church building, church bulletin. Go through that. Read those passages. Determine in your mind you're going to be a forgiving person as well as a gratitude-filled person. And I would say to you that another thing that's part of this picture is that we need to understand that obeying God is part of an expression of forgiveness. When you do what God calls you to do, you're saying to God, "I love you. I want your forgiveness. I want to live differently." If you're here and if you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, we invite you to come and express your needs as together we stand and sing to encourage you. Won't you please come?